Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for your word and that it's amazing. It tells us how to have a relationship with you. And if that weren't enough, there are all sorts of little golden nuggets throughout on how to live, how to conduct ourselves, the attitude we should have as your children, how we should reflect your love and your peace. And Lord, we thank you so much. Father, we ask that you open our eyes and our ears, more importantly, our hearts and our minds to your word this morning as we continue our worship in the form of learning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been talking about national issues in this series with the election coming up. It's kind of a hot topic, and so I've kind of had to be careful on different things. So far, so good, I think. We haven't had any knocks on the door from the IRS or guys in black suits and sunglasses and little earpieces. So, we've looked it over the past few weeks. We looked at some leaders in the Bible, and those are online. So if you'd like to get caught up on those, you can go and listen to those. Today, we're kind of turning the corner and kind of getting the second half of this series. It's going to be a little bit different than the first half. But before we even jump into that, I want to remind you, as I've been reminding you through the whole service, that no matter what we're talking about as far as political officials, government, different people in power and authority, our ultimate authority is God. And that's, you know, those songs that were selected was that idea and that grabbing that reminder that our God is bigger, our God is greater, our God is over all this. He's indescribable. He's amazing. You know, he tells the lightning where it should go. It's just amazing. The God we serve, and he is the ultimate source of our authority. He is our ultimate source of security. So with that in mind, we also have governing authorities here on earth. And God has chosen to do that. He's chosen to give us leaders and governments to govern over different groups of people. And so after looking at what the Bible has said about good and bad leaders over the past few weeks and how that can have effects on the countries that, or the country that they led, the country of Israel and the people of Israel, then these last two messages are a little bit of a two-sided coin. This Sunday we're going to be looking at one side, next Sunday we're going to be looking at the other side. So in this two-sided coin, it's a two-sided coin of civil obedience. And so obviously the one side of the coin is civil obedience, the other side of the coin is civil disobedience, yes. So today is civil behavior of Christians, next week is the other side, and that is called when enough is enough. And so these two go intricately together. So I encourage you to come back next week. And if you have a friend that's not here this week and they plan on coming next week, tell them to get online and listen to it and get caught up so they'll be able to have both sides of the coin. So let's go ahead and start taking some notes based on the scripture that Kurt read for us. It's a big hunk of scripture. We're going to be breaking it down, kind of jumping around in it. But I want us to get that whole big hunk together because it's so potent, all of that together. So earthly government was God's idea. Therefore, the concept for earthly government is inherently good. I think we need to be reminded of that fact in the midst of things going on right now, in the midst of the condition of our country, in the midst of the condition of our government. It's easy to look at government and say, well, this is government's bad, or it's not a good thing, or it's evil what's going on. And yeah, there are some evil things going on, but I want us to come back to the foundation and the basis that government was actually God's idea. And therefore, if it came from God, it's inherently good. It's innately good. And so, it's easy in the midst of this as Christians just to say, well, I can't do anything about it, or, you know, I can't, you know, my little part, or, you know, it's going so far out and so far, you know, spinning in circles and getting so wacky, and I feel like I'm powerless. Regardless of what you feel there, and I'm with you there, it does, it feels like we're just in a tailspin, and I don't know what I can do, but I can't not do something. We can't pull back, Christians. We of all people should look at this and say, I have a responsibility to help influence and to help bring our government back to what God intended government to be and back to the purpose that God wanted government to fulfill. And so we as Christians, we have that. And we should feel responsible for that. And in the midst of things going on, even if you don't feel like you can do a lot, do what you can. Influence who you can. Talk to who you can. Because if we are silent, if we back down, if we think it's too big, God said his church is going to be so powerful that the gates of Hades won't even stand against it. If we really believe that, then what's a government? What's an individual? What's a group of individuals? Really, if God is for us, didn't we just sing that? Yeah. Who can be against us? And that's scripture. So we have a responsibility, Christians, because we know that government, the idea of government was established by God. And it's right there in Romans 13. Our God is a God of order, is he not? Not chaos. I mean, that's not what he dwells in. You look at the cosmos. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the stars in the sky, and he knows them by name. Just awesome. And we look up at the cosmos, and we see, and we just know in our planet, the planet that we live on, if it were just a little closer to the sun, we don't have a really bad sunburn. It would be awful. We'd be ashes. Out of the ashes. But if we were a little further away, we'd all be icicles. It'd be like we were in a freezer, just frozen, blue. It's amazing that just our planet, and it rotates, and it revolves, and it's just amazing that it stays where it is, and our God has created a balance, not only with our planet has a moon, but there's a whole solar system of planets revolving around, not only ours, there's a universe that's been put and placed in the balance in perfect order. Our God is a God of order. You see it in creation as things are built one after the other. There's a logical order to the way things work. When we come to Christ, there's a logical order of the pattern or the progression of things that we go through there. Our God's a God of order. You go from the cosmos, you get to the macro to the micro. You go to atoms. You know, we got electrons and protons and neutrons, and they're all revolving around. And what happens if an extra electron goes shooting through there? It's not good. That's why they call it an atom bomb. Okay? That's where nuclear stuff comes from. And it's that simple. That's how delicate things are. The balance that we live in. These atoms and the molecules that make up my body. It's just amazing. Our God orders that. So why would it be any different with people and people groups? God's prized creation. Made in his image. So God has established government. He likes order. He is a God of order, and that fits with his everything that he's done. So for him to design government and a desire for order, that makes sense. And so government is innately good. Let's go back up to the second half of verse 1 in chapter 13. If you're following along, we'll be in Romans 13 most of today. We've got a couple offshoot verses here. All of them will be up on the screen, though. What Kurt read, we're just going back through and reviewing some of that. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. It's very plain, very clear there. So does this verse mean, let's go on back to that. So does this verse mean, so that the authorities that exist have been established by God? Does that mean that the individuals are God-chosen individuals? I don't know. Think of some individuals that have been in power in history. I mean, we can get impersonal about this and go outside of our country. And just look at some of the leaders, world leaders that have been around in years past. And they have been some evil, evil people that have done some awful, awful things. And so if we read this scripture, are we saying, well, they're there by God's design? I think we have to be careful there. It's not the individual leaders that God has placed. He has set up the concept. He has set up the purpose for government. So it's not necessarily the individuals that hold that, but when they hold an office, they hold an office that has God-given power, God-given authority. That's a very fine line to jump across on the fence there, but does that make sense? Yeah, I thought, how is the best way to teach this? But that's a really difficult concept to grab, I think, because it's so simple. Sometimes the simple things are hard to explain. So we have that, and so we have freedom of choice. So in our country, we'll get back personal here. In our country, we have a voting system where we go in and we vote. And so as a people, we get a chance to vote. And so the majority wins. We saw that in the primaries. We're going to see that in a few weeks. And we're just going to have to live with what happens in a few weeks, whichever way it goes. So we have this freedom to do that. So since we have free will, which God has given and granted to us, do we have the ability, and this is, it's tough to say this with a straight face, but we have the ability to vote someone in that's good, right? theoretically. We have the ability to vote someone in that's bad. Yes, because of our free will. And it isn't that God has selected that person. He gave us free will to select that person in the structure of government that we have in our country. So then that person has God-given authority because of the position they hold, even if that person isn't a God-approved individual. Does that make sense? And because our government is God-established, Paul says, consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. As I said, today is this side of the coin. Next week, we'll look at some exceptions here. But for the general rule, I wanted to get the general rules in place today to build on next week. Christians should submit to the order of authority that God has established, that God has set in place. Paul goes on to describe that God has an intended purpose for government. And we should conduct ourselves as Christians in this government, not only as Christians, but also as citizens. And there are guidelines on that. There are rules on that. There are commands that God has given us in Scripture as to how to do that. Before we get to that, he talks about the purpose, though. Here's what government was established for. Here's my idea, and this is coming from God. Here's God saying, here's my idea. Here's my creation of government. Here's what it should do. Verse 3, for rulers hold no terror or no fear over those or for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Do you want to keep a steady heartbeat when you come over the highway and there's a police officer in the median? We've all been there, right? Yeah, rocking out the Bohemian Rhapsody, and you know that hard part just hits right as you're getting over the hill, and you know you're pushing it down a little more. And there's a police officer, and we've all been there. Your heart just goes, you know, and you try not to like turn your car up on the front wheels there. But if you were doing the speed limit, would you panic? Would you be in trouble? You know, would you be in fear of being in trouble? No. Sorry, I'm being convicted here. I'm dealing with that internally. So, then do what is right and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant. I don't know if you guys noticed, but that was three times in the passage that Kurt read. God refers to government authorities as his servants. They are God's servant, agents of wrath, to bring punishment. Wait, I passed up. So that was the second one. So the first one is, for the one in authority is God's servant for your good. It's for you, for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. So God intended the purpose of earthly government, or God's intended, and that's not indented. I forgot to change it in there, so you can keep going forward and catch my nice, wonderful mistake. God's intended, not indented. God's intended purpose of earthly government is to keep peace by upholding justice through positions of authority. That's God's intended purpose of earthly government, to keep peace by upholding justice through positions of authority. And Paul breaks this down into two pieces right here in Romans 13. He says, around about some of the things that he was talking about, talks about protecting the rights of all citizens. So let's write that down. That's one side of it, of government having authority to protect the rights of all citizens. God's servant for you. That's what Paul says about the government. It's for you. It's to protect you. It's here to keep order, to keep peace for you, for those of you who are doing right and are doing good. We have an unfortunate chapter break, and that's another reason why I wanted that read as a whole. As Kurt shared with us, we go from chapter 12 and then we have a chapter break, and then we have chapter 13, and there are some chapter breaks that are just perfect, and there are other chapter breaks that are just very unfortunate, and this is one of them. You really need to pull that speed bump out of there for this is meant to be all together as you read the end of 12 and the beginning of 13, as Paul is not changing subjects. He's continuing on with the subject that he's been talking about. I'll reread what Kurt read. He said, do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Oftentimes we think of that and we say, well, God's going to avenge you. He's going to take care of himself. I mean, a big bowl of lightning is going to come down, or, you know, it's going to be some awful event that's going to happen, or worse, it's going to be, you know, eternal decisions and consequences that happen there. But we have a chapter break there. You take the chapter break out, and what Paul is saying, he says, you guys need to live at peace. It's best as you can. In the cases when you're treated unjustly, in the cases when things happen that you're treated wrong, or the things, don't seek vengeance on that. Don't seek to be avenged. That's for the Lord. And then he goes straight from that to talking about what subject? What subject are we talking about? What? Government, exactly. So you pull out that chapter break and it makes perfect sense. Here's God saying, here are my servants. They're put in place for a reason, to protect your rights. So God uses government for some earthly consequences, earthly punishment, earthly causes to keep things in order for people who have been avenged. And so God's servants, this chapter 13 finishes the thought of chapter 12. And we need to look at the government and understand that it's there for that reason. That's God's purpose. They're God's servants to protect our rights, to protect the rights of the citizen. And so when we are avenged, when things are not when we are avenged, when we're offended, when we are mistreated, when we're treated unjustly, the government is in place to make sure that the avenging happens. And they are God's servants, God's tool. Whether they recognize it or acknowledge it, it doesn't matter. They're still God's instrument. They're still God's tool to be used in that manner. But we are to live at peace with everyone as much as we can. So the government keeps peace by upholding justice, protecting the rights of all citizens, and punishing those who violate the rights of others. So dishing out punishments, that's what government's there for. It not only serves to bring justice to the guilty party and avenge the innocent, but it also serves as a deterrent to others who might think of going down that same road. And so punishment and, it's a whole other conversation there. But that's very important that we keep that, and that the government and authority figures have the ability to do that, to keep order, to avenge, and to keep our rights safe. I will get very distracted there. So let's keep going. Next note here. So some ideas here. What are God's civil expectations for me as his child in relation to the government I'm under? He goes through a list of these, and we're just going to kind of pick them out here from Romans 13, because I think it's very important for us to look at this, especially before we look at our topic next week. We need to have a good foundation of this side of the coin. Otherwise, it's just going to sound like I'm preaching anarchy next week, and that's not the case. So this side of the coin, what are some things that God expects of us as his children? All the way back up to the first half of verse 1, Paul says, let everyone be subject. Let everyone who? Everyone be subject to the governing authorities. So let's write this down. To acknowledge and submit to the authority of civil rulers. God's expectations for me as a child of God, as one of his children, is to acknowledge and submit to the authority of civil rulers. Submission and authority go hand in hand. If you have authority and you have someone in authority, then you have someone in submission. That's the way it goes. You can't have authority without having submission. It doesn't work that way. People try to work it that way. And we live, you know, our country's kind of a rebellious country. It's kind of where we birthed out of, you know. We've still got kind of a little bit of that attitude. And that can be good, because we kind of push against things that we should push against. But we also have to remember that people are in authority for a reason, and we are to submit to that authority. And that's what we have been told to do as God's children, as a citizen, underneath the authority that we have. In so long as it's not going against what God has asked us to do. That's the other side. So if God places a person in authority, then our submission is expected. And this isn't just Paul in Romans. This isn't just one book to one area. So we've got the church in Rome there that Paul hadn't even visited yet. He's giving them instructions on how to live before he even goes. But Peter completely writes the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king or whether to the king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. I mean, it's exactly what Paul's saying. And so that's, you can't just say, well, this is situational. It was just one group. It was just one guy talking. Paul, Peter, they said the exact same thing. Then Paul, when he's writing to Titus, who was stationed in Crete, Paul says, remind the people to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. And I could have just stopped there, but let's take just a little bit of a side spin here away from notes and away from our subject today, because as I was reading this, verse 2 stood out to me, and I was like, you know what? We really need to hear verse 2 in the midst of things going on right now. So verse 2, to slander no one, to be peaceable, to be considerate, and always to be gentle towards who? Everyone. Church, there's a lot of mess going on. I think it was Kurt for communion meditation last week. Was that when you were talking about just everywhere he turns? And when I asked you guys a few weeks ago, the challenge of every time you see something on the media, every time you hear something on the radio, every time you get an ad in the mail, or every time you see something on social media, pray. Pray about the election. Pray about the outcome of it. Pray for Christians. Pray for wisdom. Pray about those things. And there was a lot of praying going on if you were doing that, if you accepted that challenge. So when we look at this, there's a lot of stuff going on there. And I think for us as Christians, we need this reminder here in this second verse to slander no one. We need to think and look at the way we act about people. People. I don't agree with a lot of the politicians that are out there, or different candidates, they're standing for some different things, or this or that or the other thing, and I disagree strongly with some of them. Regardless, I have to accept and acknowledge and know and be reminded that they are a creation of God's. And they, like me, like you, they were created in God's image. And though they make some big, bad decisions, or they say things that are offensive or whatever, they're still God's creation. And they go home, and I have no idea what it would feel like or be like to be alone when the day is over and have all the junk that's been thrown around. Christians, we can't be participating in that. Have good discussions. Influence. Talk about our country. Talk about the vote. Talk about the election. But slander no one. Can we do that? Because we should. Be peaceable. Not just about the officials, but about people you're talking to. Be peaceable. I think we need a reminder of that, because there's been a bunch of dirt being thrown. And it's just right in line with what Kurt was talking about last week. All right, so side thought over. Big, big, big verse. So obey the laws and regulations that have been put in place by them. That's another thing that's expected of us as citizens that are God's children. To obey the laws and regulations that have been put in place. And we'll cover some of the what if. Because there's what if they ask this? Or what if a law is passed here? Or what if this? We'll talk about what ifs, but today, general understanding of this side of the coin, we are to obey the regulations that have been put in place by them. Then Paul talks about taxes. Did you catch that when he was reading that? I don't know if any of you guys perked up and you're like, what? I thought the only place to talk about taxes when Jesus was, you know, confronted with it. No, Paul's, and he's very, very clear and very blatant about that. This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants. That's the third place it shows up there in that little passage we read. Who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone that you owe them, what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. And I love how Paul kind of turns this into something deeper and thicker. Okay, we're talking about money. Money's one thing, but now let's go to something else. If you owe revenue, give them revenue. If you owe respect, give respect. If you owe honor, give honor. So let's take notes on both of those pieces there. To pay taxes, what's expected of us as a Christian is to pay taxes, to support the government. That's what Paul says. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Holy Spirit told Paul to write, and he wrote, and we have here 2,000 years later. Pay taxes to support the government and to respect the government. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. So respect the government and those placed in authority by God. If it's honor, then give honor. So these things expected of us as Christians. And in the midst of this craziness that's going on in our country, we need some reminders, some very simple. And today's very simple. But I think we need it, especially with things going on, to know here's what God wants from me as a Christian who is a citizen of whatever government and authority I'm under. And, you know, we'll take a venture in the book of Daniel next week. But for right now, here's what God wants. This is the ideal behavior. And in most situations, we can obey this way. We can respect this way. We can submit this way. We can acknowledge authority this way. And we can be peaceable. And we can do good and not live in fear of our government. And then Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And then look where he goes. For kings and all those in authority. Does anyone remember where Paul is when he's writing Timothy? What? He's in prison. Paul's in prison. 2 Timothy, I mean, this is the first letter to Timothy, but the second letter gets very personal because you get this feeling that Paul doesn't think it's going to be much longer. So here in the first letter, Paul's still saying, even as a prisoner of Rome, he's saying, pray. Pray for everyone. Pray for kings, those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases our God and pleases God our Savior. So write this down. We are expected to pray for them. Whoever it is that wins the election nationally, whoever wins locally, whoever's in office come January, church, we should be praying for them. Our God's big, amen? He's awesome. And if he can touch my life and touch my heart and change my direction and change my priorities, I know he can do it for someone else. He did it for you, didn't he? So we pray. We pray for them. Government was and is God's idea, so inherently it is good. The idea of government is good, and we, of all people, should have a responsibility to make a positive effect, to make a positive influence on our government around us, in whatever way you can, to make a difference in their government. We can't back down. We can't back out. We have to be involved. We have to be influencing, but doing so in a peaceful manner. We should acknowledge, respect, submit, and obey the governing authorities as long as they do not directly go against God, what God has commanded of us in his word. And church, we need to pray for them.